Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God our God will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. God doesn't mind how much he blesses you. In fact, the more he blesses you, the better. He wants you to be a person of such faith that every day you expect him to bless you and that you live continually in his blessing. And what this psalm shows us is that this is not a selfish desire. It's only inasmuch as we let the Lord bless us that we are able then to bless others. The more we allow his grace and his blessing to be manifested in our lives, the more the lives of other people will be touched by that grace and that blessing. God doesn't want us to be a people who believe that he will bless others but not ourselves. But he will bless others because he has blessed us. Hello. God has been reordering our thinking in many ways in this last year or so. Renewing our minds, giving us a fresh motivation to really reach the world, both locally and nationally, and even internationally, come to that. But our ability to do that depends upon how much we allow the Lord to bless us and how we live in the flow of his grace. You see, this is what this first verse states. May God be gracious to us as his people, and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known to the earth, and your salvation among all nations. Now, God's desire, as he's expressing this through the psalmist, is to let it be known that he will create a people of praise among the nations. And he will do that not simply by telling them to praise God or to worship him, but because he pours his grace, his favor, his blessing, and his glory out upon them in such a way that they not only praise God, but they cause others to praise him. So the challenge before us is to allow God to bless us as much as he desires to bless us. Now, of course, this is the Old Testament. And what John reveals in the first chapter of his gospel is that grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. So if we're to understand the blessings of God's grace, we have to understand that it's not simply a prayer, Lord, may you be gracious to us and bless us, as David prayed. But we have to begin by thanking God for the ways in which he has shown us his grace. Amen? He has already poured out His grace upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ in so many ways. And if we fail to understand, to lay hold of that which God has already given us by grace, then we will miss out on much of the blessing that He wants to pour into our lives day by day. And even though He's been gracious to us, we will not be as effective in our witness to others as we desire to be. I believe that what God is after is not that you will be better at witnessing to people. I don't think He's after that. What He is after is you being a better witness. And you will be a witness because of the favor of God that is upon you, because of the grace that is pouring into your life and through your life and out of your life, and because it is so abundantly clear to everybody, believer or non-believer, that you are blessed. And so the non-believers will want a part of the cake that you're enjoying every day. I'll have a slice of that. If that's the way your God blesses you, that's the God I want to know. So how has God blessed us? Well, you're a well-informed congregation. You know the Word of God. That is not something to take for granted, because there are many congregations that are ignorant of God's Word and of how to live by faith in His Word. Therefore, you know that you have an inheritance in Christ, that you live in Him, and you know that Christ lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not some spiritual dream, it's a reality, it's the truth. You know that God has given you His Spirit, that Christ lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know that your sins are forgiven. You know that your feet are standing securely on the way of salvation. You know, as Pastor Clive's been telling you to thank God for, that you are born again, that you have eternal life. God has already been so gracious to you. In fact, you know that the Scripture says that you have already come to fullness of life, that you have that fullness of His life. You have eternal life within you. You know the Scripture that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So you see, God has been gracious to us. He has blessed us. And He's made His face to shine upon us. We have touches of His glory. We only had a short time of worship because we want time for the Spirit to move after the Word this morning. But we know how to meet with God in His glory when we worship Him, because He's made His face to shine upon us. What is it that we would all like? More of God's power? To see more of His power in our lives? More of His power when we pray? More of His power when we reach out to others? How many want to see more of God's power in their lives? See, there's hardly a hand that isn't raised. And if your hand isn't raised, I don't believe you. I think every person in this room wants to see more of God's power in their lives. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Last week, God brought a release here. We had a different kind of a service. We didn't actually have a long preach or anything like that. But the Spirit of God moved and He brought release. And this week we need to live in the good of that release. We need to take advantage of what it is that God is doing amongst us. Now Jesus says in verse 5 of Acts 1, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, of course, he's talking to the disciples during the time of the resurrection, before he returns to heaven, and he's leaving with them this wonderful promise of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8, he tells them what will happen. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So, the receiving of power is essential to being witnesses. Hello? Without the power, we cannot be the witnesses that God has called us to be. That would have been a good place to say amen. But He has given us the Holy Spirit. So He has given us the power. Every one of us here who has received the Holy Spirit has within us this morning the power to make us the witnesses God wants us to be. And I don't mean that we can just go up to somebody at a bus stop and talk to them about Jesus. Some people can do that, some people can't. I'm not talking about that. I mean that wherever you go, you are a witness because of the way that the presence and the power of God is operating in your life. Now, Jesus was the man of the Spirit. And we only have to read the Gospels to see the wonderful works of power that Jesus performed. He healed the sick. We would all like to be able to heal the sick. We know the scriptures say believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And some of you might say, well, there's a bit of a discrepancy between what that word says and my experience. So we need to understand why there is that discrepancy and to get rid of it. So that when you lay hands on the sick, they do recover. Yes. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus demonstrated that because the power of the Spirit was operating in Him, He could raise the dead. And He sent out the disciples to heal the sick and raise the dead. He somehow expected the power of God to operate in their lives in the same way that it operated in His life. He cleansed the lepers. He cast out the demons. He healed the storm. He fed multitudes with a picnic. Now you like that one, do you? Right. Well, just pray over the food in your cupboard and see what happens. He was continually doing works of power. Yet nowhere in the Gospels is it recorded that people said of Jesus, "What a man of mighty power." Nobody asked, "Where does he get this power from?" They saw the works of power, but they never commented on the power. What was Jesus' reputation? What the people asked was, "Where do you get this authority? Who gave you this authority? What is this? A new teaching and with authority." And they watched what he did. He healed the sick with a word, "Get up and walk. Be opened." Blind eyes were opened. Deaf ears were opened. Dumb mouths were opened. With just a word of authority. Now Jesus gave to his disciples a commission, a command, a series of commands, in fact. You are to go and preach the gospel. You are to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. And before he went back to heaven, he said, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And the Father sent him with power, yes, but the Father sent him particularly with authority. And what people saw was the authority in his life. Now, my friend, you have the power. You have the same power in you this morning that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had in him when he walked upon the face of the earth. You have the same power in you to do the same things that Jesus did. And this is why Jesus says in John 14:12, that anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and greater things still, because I go to the Father. How could you do the same works as Jesus if you didn't have the same power? You actually have the same authority. Because Jesus said to the disciples that all authority in heaven and earth had been given to him. And therefore he had the right to convey that authority, to impart that authority to whosoever he chose. And he said to the disciples, I have given you authority over all the works of the devil, and nothing shall harm you. Amen. Now, what do we learn from all this? We learn that you can have all the power that is possible for God to invest in you, but still you will not see the works of power unless you use the authority he's given you. That the secret to the manifestation of power is not that you have power, but that you exercise authority. So if you don't exercise authority, you can have the power, but you won't see the manifestations of power. You won't see the outworking of that power in your life or in other people's lives. Some of you are sick and have been sick for years because you keep praying to get healed, but you've never exercised authority over the sickness that is plaguing your body. And you expect others to do it for you, but God says, no, I have given you the authority. And others can join with you and agree with you. But if you don't take authority yourself, then you'll be stuck with the problem. Because the secret to the release of power is the exercise of authority. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. A general in an army has great power over hundreds, perhaps even thousands of men. He can command. And every time as the general he issues a command, he expects to be obeyed. Everybody knows the general has that power. But if he doesn't command, he's not using the power. If he never issues a command, nobody will know what to do. The disease in your body doesn't know what to do unless you command it. Amen. Then it knows what it has to do. Amen. But you see, the general in the army expects to be obeyed. Jesus had the the success in his ministry that he had, because when he issued a command, he expected to be obeyed. The demons would obey him. The disease would obey him. The parts of the body would obey him. The elements would obey him. The wind and the waves would obey him. That's what he expected. Now, who and what do you expect to obey you? You see, why does Jesus say that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover? He doesn't say that just because you have power to heal the sick, but you have the authority to heal them in his name. But if you don't believe you have the authority, then you won't use the power. Last year, if I hadn't continued to exercise authority over my body, I don't believe I'd be alive today. I wouldn't be here. It's not a matter of formulas. It's a matter of knowing the authority that God has given us and putting it to use. And if things in our lives seem to stubbornly refuse when we begin to do that, then we persist in that authority. We persist. You know, sometimes things in your life can be like disobedient children. I've got three wonderful children, but they didn't always, when they were learning, they didn't always obey first time. Have you noticed that about children? But when they don't obey you first time, what do? You persist until they do obey if you're a good parent. You don't give up and let them win the day. Because that's the end of your parenthood if you do. They are now your parent. They've risen up in authority over you. They're running the home. So if you're a good parent, you persist until they do obey what you're telling them to do, because you command them for their own good, not just to show who's boss. And whatever commands God puts into our lives are for our own good. And what he tells us to do is to go and do certain things for the good of others. But if we don't exercise the authority, then we won't see the good. And they won't receive the good. And many of them won't believe, because we would have had the opportunity to exercise the authority to see the power move, bless their lives, and demonstrate that God is real. Yes. Do you realize that you are in a more advantageous position than the Archbishop of Canterbury? I heard him on the radio this morning. He said, "I believe that there is a God, but I don't know for certain that there is." He said, "I believe in him, but I don't know that he exists." Well, we know that he exists. And we want to demonstrate that he exists. But it's not just through healing people. It's taking the authority over the adverse circumstances of their lives and teaching them to do likewise. Now let me tell you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that authority. He expects you to exercise that authority. He does not expect others to exercise that authority for you. They can come alongside you and exercise authority with you, but it's for you who have been given the authority to be responsible for what goes into your mind, for what happens with your body, and how you can exercise the authority of God over the circumstances in which you're placed. So that when adverse circumstances come, when the enemy comes against you, you have the authority to rise up in faith and overcome that which is trying to overcome you. Now, with unbelievers, it's different. Because they don't have the power and they don't have the authority. So we can exercise power and we can exercise authority on their behalf.
Right.
To demonstrate who he is. I preached about the relationship between authority and power. Tuesday morning, I gathered some of the students in their covenant groups. Later that morning, they were commanding healing in each other. Legs were growing and all kinds of things were happening because they suddenly got the revelation. It's not just praying prayers over people to be healed. It's rising up with the authority that we have in Christ and commanding things to happen in his name and for his glory.
Right.
Now, last week, God was releasing the fresh anointing of the Spirit upon us. He actually said in the words that we had prophetically that it was as a new baptism in the Holy Spirit that was coming upon us as a people. Now, if you haven't yet seen the outworking of that, you're going to. And you have every opportunity to see evidence of it this week. In fact, today.
Amen.
In fact, before the meeting ends.
Amen.
Because if you have a fresh release of the Spirit in your life, that's like a fresh release of his power. But if you haven't yet seen the evidence of that, you might say, well, I was here last Sunday, and this week hasn't been any different from any other week. Shall I tell you why? You haven't yet exercised the authority so that power could be manifested. Which is why God is giving us this word this morning. Do you realize that God always works according to plan? And he is not like man. He does not make the plans up as he goes along. God planned Kingdom Faith even before the creation of the world. He planned Kingdom Faith before you and I were ever born. He planned Kingdom Faith before there was a Kingdom Faith. He planned what happens in this church. He has already planned the effect it's going to have on the nation. He has already planned the effects that he's going to have on the nations of the world. And so when we receive all these great and wonderful prophecies that we have over the years, God is simply telling us what he has already planned. And there's a word of scripture that says, I know the plans I have. And carry them out, I will.
Yes.
So it's just good to be part of what God has planned.
Yes.
And to know that all these wonderful promises that God has made are going to be fulfilled. We're in the middle of the fulfilling of what he has said. It isn't that we're waiting for something to happen. It's happening. This morning's meeting is part of the happening. Where God, you see, in his wisdom says, right now, at the beginning of March 2006, what my people need in Kingdom Faith in order to see the fulfillment of what I planned for them up to 2020 and beyond is a release of my authority. If they understand and begin to operate in authority, they're going to see my power and they're going to be such witnesses that Horsham will be shaken.
Amen.
West Sussex will be shaken. The 25-mile radius will be shaken. The nation will hear. Not because God wants to glorify Kingdom Faith, but simply because God wants to be gracious and bless us so that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
Amen.
the land, he says, if we're blessed in the way that God wants to bless us, the peoples of the earth will praise him, the land will yield its harvest, and the people of the world will come to fear him. Amen. All that in the one psalm. And the beginning of the psalm is, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make the face of his glory, the countenance of his glory, to shine upon us. All through his teaching, Jesus tells his disciples, use your authority. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. That's authority. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. That's authority. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That's authority. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That's authority. Heal the sick. That's authority. Cast out demons. That's authority. Whenever you pray, speak to the mountain and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that when you speak, it will be moved. That's authority. He doesn't tell you to pray about the mountains. He doesn't tell you to tell the Lord about the mountains. He doesn't tell you to go and have counseling about the mountains. He tells you to speak to the mountains and command them to be moved. And that's not a formula. So when you have a problem, you say, I speak to the mountains in my life and command them to move. Let me tell you, nothing much will happen if you pray like that. But you come right up against the specific thing. Yes. And you command that thing to release you, to get out of your life, to have no further hold over your body. I had cancer last year, as well as all the other things you know about. Praise God, I'm cancer free. Why? By the grace of God, I had medical help. I had to have 8 weeks of radiotherapy. But I tell you, every time I had that radiotherapy, I was in such a commanding position that no cancerous cell could ever live and survive in my body. God told me not to tell anybody till he gave me leave to do so. This morning he's given me leave to do so. Why didn't I tell anybody? Well, you were all praying for me anyway. And if God wanted to tell you, he could have told you. But you see, the one thing I didn't want, I mean, when I was rushed into hospital last January, the world heard about it. I was having messages from all over the world. The last thing in the world I wanted was people all over the world saying, Colin Urquhart's got cancer. Because let me tell you, that would have been a lie. It might have been a fact, but it would still be a lie. Because the truth is, Colin Urquhart is healed of cancer. I wanted people to speak healing about me, to speak good over my life, not to speak what I had, what I was getting rid of. My friends, there's a big lesson to learn here. I wouldn't have told you this morning. I thought I'd probably go to my grave without anybody ever knowing. So I had a few other things to contend with. It was as if the devil was hitting me with everything all at once. That's why I said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I doubt if I'd be standing here now. But we have a great God who is gracious to us and blesses us and causes the light of his glory to shine upon us. You see, you can tell people about things to evoke sympathy. But let me tell you, those of you that have had cancer, ever since I first knew that that was diagnosed, I've prayed so much for you, I've taken authority over you. Some of you I know have been healed of cancer. Well, let me tell you, I was right there with you in the fight. Every day I was praying for you. Every day I was coming against that thing, not only in my life, but in your life too. And if there's any of you who've got cancer now, I come against that right now in the name of Jesus. And I say, your body shall be cancer free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I feel like a scrap, don't you? Victory. So you got the authority. You have the authority. I mean, you know all these phrases from the scripture. You're the head and not the tail. You're on the top and not the bottom. They do have some meaning. That whatever comes against you, not just sickness, but any problem, any need, whatever comes against you is not the answer. It's not the final word. Jesus always has the final word. But he's given us the authority to take his life and his power and to put it into operation.
Right.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it over our own lives. We're going to do it over the lives of others, whoever we meet, wherever they are, whoever they are. So when somebody has a cancer or need, whatever it might be, instead of just saying, oh dear, oh, we'll pray for you. Oh. Now your attitude will be right. Right. Here we go. Is every battle won? No. No, unfortunately, no. In a war, sometimes you lose a scrap. You get casualties. How do we explain that? I don't know that we can. But we know even in someone who dies of disease that Jesus has the final word, because resurrection is much better than this life. So it's never an ultimate defeat. Praise God. Are you ready for a fight?
Yes.
I mean, so that when it comes to the end of your life, it will be said of you that you fought the good fight and you finished the job. Let's all stand, shall we? I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. I want you to thank him that he has given you the same power as he gave to Jesus. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Thank him that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Thank him that you have received that power. Thank him that that power is at work in you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You have the power. Come on, give him glory. That you have the power. You have received power from on high. Now thank him that you have authority. Listen, God is not a fool. He would not have given you the power unless he also gave you the authority to use the power. What would be the purpose of him giving you power but with no authority to use it? So come on, lift your hands and thank him that he has given you authority over all the works of the enemy so that nothing will harm you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord, I have authority. That you will back up that use of that authority. That whatever I do in your name, I shall see the power of God revealed. Yes! Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Master. Now, when someone exercises authority, they do what Jesus did. They command. They don't pray, they command. In fact, Jesus says that commanding is the praying. Speaking to the mountain is praying. Commanding demons to move is praying. Commanding sicknesses to move is praying. To bring release is prayer. Woo! Come on, are you up for this? Are you up for this? Right, but now take authority over whatever it is that is plaguing your life. If there's any sickness, come on, you come right against that sickness right now. If there's any disease of any kind in your life, if there's any problems that you're having with your mind and with your attitudes and with your trains of thought, come on, rise up. That mind is your mind. It's not a plaything of the devil. Your mind is not there for the devil to sow all kinds of negative things. Hallelujah! 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 Oh, I take authority in the name of Jesus over every demonic power that seeks to sow any negativity in my mind or in the mind of any person present. My mind does not belong to the devil. I submit my mind to the mind of Christ. I submit my mind to the revelation of the truth. I submit my mind to that which sets me free. Yes! Yes! Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Now come against those physical diseases. I praise God for the medical profession. I've received so much help from them in the last year. But let me tell you, added to all the medical expertise, we need the authority that we have spiritually. We need the power of God. We need the living Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, rise up in faith now. Rise up in faith now. Take authority. Say, this is my body. Jesus Christ has given me my body, not to be a vessel of disease, but to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, to be a body that He will use for His glory. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Get that disease out of your body. Command it to go in the name of Jesus. You are not going to allow that disease to persist in your life. It shall not persist. Hallelujah. It shall not persist. Come on, you're commanding. You're not mumbling. You're not murmuring. You're commanding. Come on, command. Command. Decree in the name of Jesus. Take authority over the circumstances of your life and over your body. Woo! Okay, just turn to someone next to you. Start commanding over each other's lives. Say, I'm just going to agree with my faith now. What are you commanding to go from your life? And then you just agree with them. Say, well, I command too in the name of Jesus that will leave. And then you let the other person minister to you. Come on, you've got about 2 minutes. No nice prayers. You command. You take authority. No sweet sentimentality. This is commanding. This is driving things out of people's lives. Come on, drive it out in the name of Jesus. Tell that mountain, whatever it is, get lost, get out of my brother, my sister's life. You have no right. Don't ask the Lord to do it. You do it. You command. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. I want to see people commanding, not just murmuring, commanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Is there some praise in the house of the Lord? Come on, let's give God the glory. I said, let's give God the glory. Hallelujah. Just say this. I'm not going to live as a victim anymore. I'm a victor. And I'm going to live as a victor. Hallelujah. I'm going to exercise the authority that God has given me. And I'm going to see His power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, those people that you've been witnessing to, come on, command that the God of this age ceases to blind them with unbelief. Take authority over every spirit of unbelief. Come on, do it now. Do it now. There's going to be a sudden change. There's going to be a new openness to the gospel. There's going to be a new level of response. Hallelujah. 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 Yes! Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the beginning of something new. I mean, somebody on this platform says that nearly every week. But you see, this is what God is doing. He says, behold, I make all things new. Well, not everything gets changed all in one week. But now there's going to be a new faith and a new authority and a new power in your life. Let me just say this. I will not answer one question about what has gone on in my life. I've told you what I've told you. That's the end of it. I will not answer any questions. It's finished. It's behind me. Hallelujah. And has been for several months. No, just praise God for Jesus because he's the one who does it. Come on, let's give him a great, really big shout of praise.
I just want to do anything about people giving their lives to the Lord. Do you want to do that quickly? Anybody wants to respond to give their life?
Praise God. Just while you're standing, if there's anybody here that says, well, I don't have that authority. I don't have that power. Jesus doesn't live in me. I don't have the Holy Spirit like you've been talking about. Well, let me tell you. The rest of us do have, only because God is so gracious, so loving, so kind. It isn't that we deserved any of what he's given. It's just that he was gracious to us, and that means he gave us what we didn't deserve. And God is ready to give anybody here who's never received Jesus, never received his life, never received his spirit, he'll give you everything I've been talking about. In fact, he can give it to you all in the next 2 minutes. Let's all of us just close our eyes for a moment. Pray for anybody here who does not know the Lord, who is not free in the Lord. Anybody perhaps who's made some kind of commitment to him but never known the power of the Holy Spirit in his or her life. Let's pray right now that everybody leaves here knowing, not just believing, but knowing there is a God and that he lives in us by the power of the Spirit. And if you're such a person who needs the Lord, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. I want you to pray this prayer along with me. Just say the words quietly after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. And I want you. I want your life. I know I don't deserve anything from you. There's been so much wrong in my life over the years. I acknowledge that this morning. And I ask you to forgive me
all the sin, anything and everything that has displeased you. And I've heard, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I've heard that if I confess my sins, you will forgive me. So I claim that forgiveness now. And I ask that my former life now is behind me, and that today you give me a new life. I want you, Lord Jesus, to come and live in me. I want you to work through me. I want not only to receive your power, but I want to be someone that can live a life for the good of others. I want my life to really count for something. So I give my life to you today, such as it is. And I ask, Lord, that you give your life to me. And I thank you that because you hear the prayer of the heart, you hear what is in my heart now. And you say in your word that everyone who asks receives. So I believe now that I have received you. And that from this moment, my life will be different. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, would you raise your hand wherever you are now? There's several hands. Just keep those hands up for a moment. I want to pray for you. Some of you, this is for the first time. Others, you're just coming to a new place in God. That's great. Just keep those hands high. Father, I pray for all these people. I bless you for them. I thank you for the work you've done in their hearts this morning. And I just give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise that this is a new day for them. Amen. Somebody will come alongside you if you haven't got someone who you know with you already, and they'll just talk to you, and there will be people to just to pray with you, just to affirm and confirm what God has done in your life this morning. Let's thank the Lord for all these people, shall we?